Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, what a Thursday we now suddenly have. Live in beautiful Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Nothing makes me happier than a big NFL trade, especially to a team I love, a GM I love, and a quarterback I used to love and want to fall in love with again. Carson Wentz to the Colts. I'm going to be unbearable today. Alex Curry is sitting in for Joy Taylor. Alex, how are you? By the way, Alex has been covering baseball forever and huge, huge baseball deal today. She'll have that in the Herd line. Massive deal. Fernando Tatis, who's an unbelievable rock star. So how are you?
I'm doing great, Colin. It's going to be a great day. I can feel your energy all the way over here from that excitement.
Yes. And I have a Red Bull. I'm just going to put it aside.
Oh, that's dangerous.
I'm going to be unbearable because I love Carson Wentz. I was just on the phone for a half hour with Chris Ballard about 4 or 5 days ago, the Colts GM. He was in a good mood. I knew something was up. Yeah. He was in a really good mood. And I love what the Colts are doing. I think he didn't blink, by the way. This is what Chris Ballard did. Now, I'll tell you what's great about the NFL. So Carson Wentz now to the Colts. We talked about this last 3 days. It's really interesting. The two teams that are better today than they were 2 weeks ago are the Rams, Matt Stafford. So the Rams last year went 10-6 and won a playoff game and gave the Packers trouble. So I think Stafford makes them a game to a game and a half better. So I've already made my NFL predictions. I haven't put them on the air yet, but I've already done my standings at home. I think the Rams go to an 11-5 team with a chance to win multiple playoff games with Stafford. I don't think it's like going from Jameis Winston to Brady, Stafford to Goff, but I do think it's an elevation. He's better in a muddy pocket. He's got a better arm, a little more athletic. And now Carson Wentz to the Colts. I feel the same way. He makes them a game and a half better with a chance to win multiple playoff games. They were 11-5 last year. I think this makes them 12-4, game and a half better. Stafford is better than Goff. Wentz is significantly more athletic than Phillip Rivers. May not be as good at the line of scrimmage. Phillip's really good there. But I think in both instances, and they both did it differently, Les Snead in L.A., a competitive market, is a go-for-it guy. I mean, he's a wheeler and dealer. Chris Ballard doesn't blink. Here's what I'm offering you, and I'm not budging. And they both worked. There's more than one way to win in this league. There's more than one culture. Green Bay wins with their culture. New England wins with theirs. Kansas City's a little flashier. Tampa's down there, crazy town, bringing in all sorts of people. There's more than one way to win in this league. The Rams went and got Stafford, wheeling and dealing. Bidding war. Colts did the opposite. Here's what we're offering. A third-round pick and a second-round pick. So this year, they're giving up a third-round pick. And the following year in the draft, they're giving up a second-round pick, which may become a first-round pick, but right now it's a second-round pick. That didn't blink. So now, and I think this is huge. I think in both Stafford to the Rams and Wentz to the Colts, you have upgraded from very good playoff teams. I now consider the Colts one of my seven teams in the Super Bowl bubble. I think I got the Rams in. Again, they went 10-6 and won a playoff game with Goff. I got Green Bay in. I got Tampa Bay in. And I have San Francisco. As long as Garoppolo is the quarterback and upright, I have them in. In the AFC, I've got Kansas City, Buffalo, and the Colts. I do think Baltimore is close, but I've got to see Lamar Jackson to be able to play from behind, throw the ball late in games more consistently. Seattle's got talent, but I think they make it up as they go in recent years, and I've got my issues with Pete Carroll having too much power. This is what it feels like to me. You got four NFC teams that should be in my Super Bowl bubble: Green Bay, the Rams, San Francisco if Garoppolo plays, and Tampa, and I think it's the Chiefs, the Colts, and the Bills in the AFC. And yesterday I talked about this. I said there's warning signs. There's five warning signs in the NFL that your franchise is about to join the clown show, the clown club. I'm not going to reiterate those, but there's also five signs that you're going to become a legitimate Super Bowl contender every year. And the Colts now have those, and let's discuss them. Number one, the quarterback and the coach have a strong relationship. Breeze and Sean Payton, Andy Reid and Mahomes. Say what you want, Belichick and Brady. Fouts and, you know, you go back to Aikman and Jimmy Johnson. Generally speaking, you are in a, you don't have to win a Super Bowl, but you're in the ball. Arians and Brady, turbulent early, got along great. When the quarterback and the head coach are in unison and they respect and like each other, you win a lot of games, and Wentz and Frank Reich will be great together. He's never been the same since Reich left. Number two is, you have protection. I've said this, in baseball, you cannot win a World Series with a lousy bullpen. You can't be bleeding runs no matter. I mean, the Dodgers bullpen wasn't great last year, but it was good enough. You cannot win Super Bowls with a crappy offensive line. The Buccaneers, the untold story of the Buccaneers Super Bowl was their offensive line at the end of the year was fantastic. Brady wasn't getting touched. Number three, you got to give your quarterback some weapons. That's why Brady left New England. Jonathan Taylor for the Colts has become a star at the end of the year. He didn't have a preseason. Michael Pittman, ask the Bills secondary, has become a star receiver. They also have Paris Campbell, hurt last year, one of the fastest players in the NFL. He'll be playing for the Colts this year. You got to have a top 10 defense. That's number four. You don't have to be great. You don't have to have great defense, but you can't ask your quarterback to win 44-40 every weekend. The Buffalo Bills defense this year wasn't very good, but it was situationally pretty good. But it has to get better. The Bills defense has to get better. I mean, Phillip Rivers ran up and down the field on him. So Wentz gets a top 10 defense. And number five is, you got to have a legitimate front office that just keeps your roster viable. You got to manipulate the cap. You can't pay like Dallas, good players, great money. So the five things to me that means this is kind of what Baltimore usually is, what Green Bay usually is, what New England was, is you got a good head coach quarterback relationship, good offensive line, give him some weapons, a defense that lets you win occasionally 23-20, and a front office that's viable, manipulates the cap, keeps the roster tight. You've always got a little cap space. You don't have any dead money. You're not paying good players great money. So I think right now the Colts just found themselves. The Rams and the Colts both are in my Super Bowl bubble, but I think the Colts are there this morning. They didn't blink. They've got their way of doing business, and congratulations. I knew when I talked to Ballard he was in an especially good mood, and he just landed Carson Wentz. And let me just say this about, there are different ways to do it, but what you never want to do, even in life, is sell your soul. I mean, I'm a saver. I don't spend a lot of money. I make a pretty good living. I put 50% of my income away every year. That's who I am. Now, I tell my kids I overspend for two things, experiences and education. I'll break the bank for college, and I'm going to spend a lot of money if I want to take my family to Hawaii. Because I remember as a kid, we went in five or six vacations. I can remember when I was like 7 years old. But my value system is I'm not going to sell my soul. Okay, this is what I am. I'm a saver. The Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday, Kevin Colbert, their GM, came out. His quote was on Big Ben. As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Steelers. Not exactly a big advocate, by the way. That's what Les Snead said exactly a week later. He traded Jared Goff. The Steelers have sold their soul a little bit on Big Ben. Let me tell you about Big Ben and the truth. And Pittsburgh has known this since day one. He doesn't commit in the offseason. Jay Glazer jokes his idea of an offseason workout is beers and a yoga workout once a week. He's never been good with film study, and it's gotten worse over time. He's an average practice player. They run a remedial, unsophisticated audible system. They've catered it to Ben. And also, he struggles with high-profile offensive players. Pittsburgh's a smarter organization. They know he should be better at film study. They know he should be more committed in the offseason. They know he's too dramatic when anybody gets a little glare on the offensive side. They sold their soul for Ben, and here's where they are. Trapped. $42 million. If they cut him, they'd pay $23 million on the cap, and he's now bad at the end of the year because he's never committed in the offseason. He was awful in December. He was 1-4, 8 picks, bad. That's what happens as you age as a quarterback. Breeze didn't have the arm left in December. Ben's bad in December. My wife preaches something all the time, and she's always on this. She's always like, stay current, dress current, social media current, get on Instagram. Just stay current. And Tom Brady's the embodiment of this. He gets on social media, and he's funny. He's relevant. He's good with young teammates. He's adaptable. He's very good with his body. Tom is the embodiment of staying current. His supermodel wife probably is part of that equation. She's got to stay current. He stays current. Ben and Favre never did. This is who I am. I'm not moving. I'm not improving. I'm not learning new stuff. And they both age poorly. And I'll say this for Green Bay. Green Bay may drive me nuts sometimes. But even for the smallest NFL market, they never sell their soul. They moved off Favre, and they've already drafted Aaron Rodgers' replacement. They don't romanticize the past. Green Bay never sells their soul. I wish occasionally they'd go for it in free agency. But they've got a soul and a value system, and they never trade it. Pittsburgh, a small market too, sold their soul for Big Ben. They knew he was a crappy practice player. They knew he wasn't committed in the offseason. They know he doesn't put in the film study time. But he was so talented. They appeased him. They placated him. They let him get away with it. And now they're trapped. Green Bay's not trapped. Pittsburgh's trapped.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Carson Wentz has been traded to the Colts. By the way, the Colts had a top 10 offense last year. Moving the ball, they were ninth in yards per play. And that's with Phillip Rivers, who is, and I love Phillip, but he's the least athletic quarterback in the league ever since Eli Manning retired. So they couldn't move the pocket, and they were ninth in the NFL in yards per play. And it should also be noted that Jonathan Taylor, the rookie running back, 22-year-old kid, he didn't really, from Wisconsin, he didn't really emerge until post-Thanksgiving. So if you really look post-Thanksgiving, Michael Pittman, the wide receiver from USC, the rookie, again, there's no training camp. There's no exhibition season. Those guys didn't really pop until post-Thanksgiving. So they, at the end of the year, the Colts felt like, to me, they were a top 5-6 yards per play offense. Now you bring in a quarterback who sometimes, to his demise, likes to move the pocket. So this is going to be a much more viable offense. They won 11 games last year with the least athletic quarterback in the league. Big day for the Colts. They're in the Super Bowl bubble to me. I do think that J.J. Watt is great for the Packers. He may fit the Titans better, their schemes. But Joe Barry's the new Packer defensive coordinator. He's done a 3-4, a 4-3. He's done it. I know Joe. He can do whatever he has to do for his personnel. But the latest story is, and this stuff starts leaking, and I've always had a theory in my business, stuff only leaks when people want it to leak. All right? Like, we don't get stories if you don't leak stories. And that's just the reality of it. If somebody wants it out, I've had stories in my life that I banged on doors forever and they never got out because nobody wants them out. And these stories are leaking because it's now we got a bidding war and J.J. Watt likes it that way. So J.J. Watt's one of the only defensive players, hell, he may be the only one, that's got a brand. The way it works in the NBA, defensive players, Rodman was rare. Rodman had a brand. It was crazy town, but it was a brand. Usually rebounders don't have a brand. Defensive players don't have a brand in the NFL. J.J. Watt's got one. There's a reason all these stories yesterday, J.J. Watt stoking the fire, quote, free agency is wild, he says on social media. He just pouring gas on that puppy, and I don't blame him. He's saying, listen, I know I've had injuries. I know I'm older. He wants to get paid. And J.J. Watt's like, listen, I was still a seventh, top seven defensive lineman. I want to get paid. Here's the problem. Green Bay does not get into bidding wars. As I just talked about, some teams are very comfortable with that. Dallas is. Through the years, Philadelphia is. Rams are. Some big city teams, they'll get into these bidding wars. They're okay with it. They trust their scouting department, and they trust their market to make the big move worth it. Indy's not going to do that. Belichick's not going to do that. And Green Bay's not going to do that. So that's the bad news here is J.J. Watt right now is that great high school football player. He's got four or five hats on the table. And he goes on his Instagram for a week, and he's like, man, big decision coming on signing day. I may go to Clemson. I may go to Bama. I may go to Oklahoma. And he's just pouring gas on it, getting everybody revved up. That's what J.J. Watt and his agent and his side are doing. They're just putting enough stuff out there to create a bidding war. Green Bay, they do a lot of things well. They're not getting into bidding wars. So that's not necessarily, to me, a great sign for the Packers. And listen, J.J. Watt has every right to make every penny. I think I would rather play for a winner at this point. He's a lock for the Hall of Fame. He's got nothing but money. I think I'd want to win. But listen, Buffalo's out there, they win. Tennessee wins. Green Bay wins. This may come down to somebody just offers him a bigger deal. And that's okay. I mean, listen, there are times when I criticize guys for signing a deal with a bad... I mean, Robinson Cano going from the Yankees to the Mariners, you're like, dude, you don't want to play in Seattle. You're going to suck up all their money. They're not going to be able to afford any other good players. You don't want... That's a mistake. I don't have a problem guy at the end of his career when four winning teams... You know, you got Buffalo's a winning team now, and Tennessee's a winning team, and Green Bay's a winning team. I don't have a problem with the guy taking money then. Winners are winners, right?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There's a story today on Dak's contract that... Todd France is his agent. Todd's a very, very legitimate agent. And there's talk how the Cowboys can pay him about $32 million a year, big signing bonus, and make it work. I'll say this about all contract negotiations. Somebody's usually got the leverage. A lot of times, it's the corporation. It's the team. The longer the Cowboys have waited on this, in my opinion, the more leverage Dak has. There's four or five things working now in Dak's favor. Number one is Jerry Jones is 78. He didn't want to start over with a rookie quarterback. He's 78 years old. He wants to win. Dak's productive. Number two is Dak is beloved by teammates, and he ensures you won't have chaos at the position. Number three is Cowboys have a lot of needs to fill. It'd be nice to go into camp knowing you got the quarterback. I mean, they got to go draft another corner. They got to draft a safety. They got to figure out what to do with DeMarcus Lawrence because he's cost a fortune. They may have to move one of their wide receivers because they got three of them, but yet they've got an aging offensive line. The other thing Dak's got going for him is we got 9-10 teams need a quarterback. Now, take the Colts out of it. We may be down to 8. Dak's got a market. He's got a market now. It may not be the market he wants at 35 large a year, but Dak's got a market today. The Colts are off it, but you got a San Francisco. We talked about it yesterday. Pittsburgh now. Listen to their GM. They're looking for somebody. So I think the longer this goes, it doesn't always benefit the employee or the quarterback. But I think in this instance, the longer they go, Dak eliminates chaos at quarterback. And in the NFL, you'd prefer to be great, but what you don't want to be is chaotic. Washington this year at times was chaotic at quarterback. Dak ensures you're not chaotic. He's not maybe as great as you want, but Jerry's 78. He doesn't want a circus at the most important position. All right, coming up next, Albert Breer joins us on the Colts acquiring Carson Wentz. Did the Eagles get completely worked? What's that mean for Darnold? What's it mean for the rest of the teams? What's it mean for Garoppolo? What's it mean for Dak? Albert Breer next. You know how you should kick off the new year. How about a new pair of boots? You'd never think of me as a boot guy, but Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S from Austin, Texas. They do leather goods really, really well. Wallets, I got one of those. Belts, their travel bag. I'm moving actually right now. I got my travel bag is everywhere. It's my backpack. It goes everywhere I do. Step out in 2021 with a couple of compliment magnets on your feet from Tecovas. This year's lineup, classic cowboy and cowgirl styles, urban western Chelsea boots in both men's and women's. Their zip boots are great, fit under a slimmer pant leg, but look like a traditional cowboy boots. All the boots are handmade, quality that translates to confidence. Free returns and exchanges. Why? Because they trust their product. Never have to worry about pulling the trigger on a pair of Tecovas. They'll always shoot you straight. New year, new boots, folks. Find them at Tecovas.com in Austin, Texas, or stop by one of their many
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So Bruce Arians is very unique. He's the oldest coach to win a Super Bowl. He's the only interim head coach to win Coach of the Year. He's the only team that has all black coordinators, multiple female coaches. He retired from coaching and came back. He's done it his way from day one in the league, and right now he's at the top of the heap in the NFL. And Bruce Arians, the Super Bowl champ, the Bucs head coach, is joining us live, and we appreciate that. By the way, I want you to go ArianSFamilyFoundation.org. Cocktails with Arians and Friends tomorrow night, 6 to 8. So Bruce is joining us. First of all, Bruce, you're a busy guy. You didn't have to. We appreciate this. And I want to start with this moment. What was the moment, Bruce, this year? You may have said it to your family. You may have said it to coaches. But you said to your staff or somebody, guys, we're really close. We are really close to getting this thing buttoned up. Was there that moment or epiphany before you got to the Super Bowl, Bruce?
It really was, Colin. And first of all, I'm so happy that you're healthy.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, you don't need to be scaring me like that, brother.
Scared me too.
Yeah, I bet. But yeah, I think it was right after the loss to the Chiefs. You know, we had lost to the Rams by three, lost to the Chiefs by three, and we had our open date. And it's like, dude, all our guys, team players, you guys know how close we are. Let's just get rested up, all right, and let's get ready for this last run. And there was a total belief in our entire organization that we were going to get this done.
And it's funny because after that moment, you get a break, and then you guys were on fire. Bruce, were practices different? Did you and Tom have a certain symmetry? What went on in those bye week practices? Was it different than anything you'd been a part of in coaching? Because something happened over that stretch, and you came out with your hair on fire for 2 months.
Yeah, we basically put up the scenarios for the playoffs. Who was in first? Who's the first seed? Who's the second seed? Where do we stand? What does this game mean? And we started the playoffs then. We are now in the playoffs. You guys wanted to be in the playoffs? Here we are. And every game matters. The practices intensity was always good, but it went up a notch. Tom knew how to take that bull by the horns and get a little more involved leadership-wise. And we don't accept anything but perfection, but it got better. It got better starting that next week.
You know, Bruce, it's interesting. This wasn't the easiest team to coach. You didn't have a preseason. You had a bunch of new parts. You had Lenny comes in. You got Gronk comes in. You got AB comes in. Godwin was hurt early. This wasn't easy. This was not easy, Bruce. You had injured players. You had new players coming in. Go back to September, October. Were there some moments of turbulence that you ever had a doubt and thought, good Lord, we got a lot of new faces. We got a lot of new guys. We got a lot of mouths to feed. Was there a point when you questioned it?
No, we're so fortunate because when Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are your superstar receivers, they're the most unselfish guys I've ever coached to be great players. They just wanted to win. So nobody could bitch and want the ball because they didn't bitch and want the ball. So it was like, as we added the pieces, out of necessity because of injuries, they were welcome with open arms. I went to Mike, I went to Chris, I said, look, I think I might sign AB. I said, Coach, you think it's going to help us win the Super Bowl? I said, I think so. Hey, we're all for it. Oh, we're all for it. We'll give up catches. We don't care. We want to win a Super Bowl.
God, that's great. You know, one of the things about Tom is that there's a sense in the world when a player gets great, he's harder to coach. And, you know, listen, Tom has things he's good at. Tom probably has things he doesn't love to do. You guys, you have ways you like to coach. He's got ways you've got to play. But you kind of made it work. What is it like to coach Tom? Or is it easier? Is it more of a challenge? And that's not a knock on anybody, but there are players that have kind of a system they believe in. What's Tom like to coach? I know it's a simple question, but what is it like?
He loves hard coaching. He wants to be coached hard, and he wants to learn new things and try new things. So that part of it. But also, Byron did such a great job of keeping him comfortable what we were doing and what he has done in the past, and adding the conglomeration of his offense, our offense, it was just the Bucs offense. And it wasn't, I have to laugh when I hear these guys say, oh, man, they're running New England's offense now. Dude, go back and watch the film at Cleveland, Pittsburgh. It's the same shit we've been running for 20 years, right? Tom's just, they run the same thing. He can make every throw. And it's just buying into, okay, third and two. I got a sack for the first down, but I also have a chunk for 40 yards. And I love my matchup. I coach it, take the chunk.
Yeah.
He's probably in the past that I'm getting the first down. And I would turn the film on and say, look, dude, you had a chance for 40. You're right. And he started attacking and embraced that philosophy. But also, Byron did such a great job of keeping him comfortable verbiage-wise, because, I mean, it was, we laugh. I said, Tom, you couldn't have known what half the words meant when we say New Orleans the first time.
Yeah.
And I played him the third time, and it's like, oh, yeah, I got this. I got this now.
Yeah.
And he loves being coached. He loves the challenge, and he loves looking at things in a different way.
You know, you there was a couple of plays, I said this on the air, I thought my favorite play in the playoffs from you guys was actually in the Green Bay game. And I think you gave it. It was a little bit of a jet sweep to Chris Godwin at the end of the game to get that first down, and he slid. And I said, God, I bet Bruce Arians has had that damn thing in his playbook for 12 weeks. I literally went on the next day and I went, they've been holding on to that play for 12 weeks. And it was the end of the play game. So you got to just give me clarity on that play. I didn't see you run that thing the whole year. How long had you had that kind of jet sweep to seal the Green Bay game at Lambeau?
We've been practicing it, 6 weeks. You know, every time we go to five, it's 100% pass with five wide receivers in the game or four and a tight end. So we had that four or five runs. That was our favorite. And it was just the perfect timing. I said, Byron, if we get to third and four or less, we're going to run that ball. He's, oh, coach, that's the perfect one. That's the perfect one. He called it. And the guys executed to perfection.
Do you think you'll actually – do you think, Bruce – and you're very much a family guy. You're young at heart. Did you sense – maybe it was after the Super Bowl – that, you know what, I can do this for a few more years. I got about 3 or 4 years. Did Tom actually make you feel a little bit of that fountain of youth?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, now if I have to start coaches, I mean, if I lost Byron or Todd, that would, I have to think about it, because not losing any coaches this year makes next year so much easier and so much easier to repeat. But once you start deleting your coaching staff, I don't want to go back to calling plays.
Right.
And Byron right now is still the only guy I trust doing it.
Yeah.
And I'd have to think long and hard if I was going to lose him.
Boy, I'm watching you drink that. Looks like a Bud Light on that boat. Good Lord, you look happy.
Hey, dude, you know me, I don't drink beer, but that was a hell of a good tasting beer.
Okay, so cocktails with the Arians and friends. That's tomorrow night, 6 to 8 Eastern. For more information, go to AriansFamilyFoundation.org. Everybody I know that knows you, loves you, and you're one of those guys. Listen, the last two Super Bowl winners are Andy Reid and Bruce Arians, and you may be the two most loved guys in the league. I could not be happier for you and your front office. I covered the Bucs years ago when I worked in Tampa, and I'm happy for you, Coach. Thank you.
Oh, you bet, Colin, man. And you stay healthy now. Don't be scaring me like that no more.
All right. I won't. I promise. Bruce Arians.